Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. My guest today is David Jennings, who I have known for years. David is an incredible entrepreneur and he's got a rich and varied background in lots of different industries, lots of different niches. What David is most known for is his business around systems and in particular, systemology. He's got an incredible background when it comes to this. He was recently asked to launch Michael Gerber from the E-Myth fame, his latest book called Beyond the E-Myth. David was involved in that book launch and has been involved in, you know, helping him with keynotes and facilitation of things as well. So incredible story. Now, before we get to the conversation with David, I just want to share with you, if you are a practice owner, you're going to want to come across to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. There's a ton of stuff in there that's going to make your journey as a practice owner easier and a whole lot less stressful so that you can earn more money, have more time to do the things you love to do, and create a business that is actually a business rather than just a job. So, of course, the trainings and tips in there, head across to Savvy Dentist Facebook group. We'd love to see you there. And you can go to drjessegreen.com/Facebook and you'll find the link to the group there. Now, with our conversation with Dave today, as I said, it's a rich and interesting conversation. Dave is going to share a 7-step framework around systems. And of course, it's about the system of creating systems. And in there, he's going to talk about the things that most business owners encounter when they want to systemize their business. Things such as team resistance, you know, will they follow them? Will systems rob creativity? A heap more stuff of that nature that Dave's going to unpack and explore, as well as give you some frameworks and some thoughts about how to create a fully systemized business. Now, of course, if you have got a systemized business, it de-risks the business. It means that you as the owner have time freedom and flexibility. It means that the experience that the patient has is more consistent. So we all understand the great reasons for having a systemized business. And what Dave shares today in this particular conversation is the nuts and bolts of how to get that done. It's a really great conversation. I enjoyed this podcast a great deal and I hope you enjoy it too. So without any further ado, here's David Jennings. David Jennings, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's great to have you here. How are things with you today, my friend?
It's a pleasure. Yes, everything's going well in this COVID life, which kind of feels quite similar to my normal life, actually. So, yeah, doing well down in Melbourne.
Yeah, good to hear, mate. Well, we'll touch on some of that stuff in a moment, but I wanted to just talk a little bit about your work with systems and systemology. You know, you've had a really rich and interesting background, which we'll touch on later, but obviously, you're working in the space of systemizing businesses and you've got some incredible runs on the board. You've written a great book called Systemology. But there's a story that I'd like to start our podcast with that I think is really something that caught my attention. I'm sure will catch the listeners' attention. And that is, you were asked to launch Michael Gerber's recent book, which is Beyond the E-Myth. And everyone knows Michael Gerber because of his E-Myth and systems. But mate, what happened there? Tell me about that.
Felt a little bit like the universe just opened up and presented this magnificent opportunity and dropped it in my lap. And I owned a digital agency and I had just recently found out that we were pregnant and I decided I need to systemize the heck out of this business. It's funny. For whatever reason, I thought, oh, I can't systemize this digital agency because I know how to do everything. And even if I get systems in place, my team won't follow them anyway. And systems remove creativity and they're time consuming. And oh, because I work in a digital agency, the systems will get out of date almost as quickly as I write them. So what's the point? And I had all of this baggage around why I hadn't systemized my business, even though I knew it was important. I just never got around to it. And then we found out we were pregnant and I thought, no, I can't be that dad who's always too busy working the weekends, early mornings, late nights. And I said, I'm going to systemize this business. And I focused on over about a period of sort of 9 to 12 months, and I hired a CEO, and she came in and I worked with her, and we systematically worked me out of the business to the point where she was running it. And then literally within about a month of us kind of getting to a point where Melissa goes, yeah, look, I've really got this under control, I get an email out of the blue from a lady called Luz de Ligerba. And I didn't know the first name, but I knew the surname. Mm. And all the email said was, call me. Now, I'm in Melbourne and they are on the West Coast in the US.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know Michael Gerber, oftentimes referred to as the godfather of business systems.
Yep.
And the E-Myth has been cited numerous times as one of the best-selling business books of all time.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, this is rather interesting. I mean, I've got my digital agency, but I've been building up this side business, System Hub and Systemology, which we might touch on a little bit later, which is all to do with the systems world. Now, she didn't come to me for that at all. She came to me and just said, call me. And it was through my digital marketing business. And I called her and she told me, oh, yes, Michael's just recently written the last book in the E-Myth series. He's just turned 80. And for the first time, we've decided to self-publish this book. All of the previous books went through HarperCollins, but this one, you know, Michael's thinking about legacy, as he's definitely an older gentleman, and we want to maintain all of the rights and control. So we want to do a book launch ourselves. Now, I happened to write a book called Authority Content, and this is my first book, and she happened to see the book launch for that and said, I love what you did with that book launch. I'd love it if you would launch Michael Gerber's book.
Oh my God.
And I said, oh, look, I'd love to. I was a bit starstruck at that point, being a fan of Michael's work. And I said, look, I'll do it. She goes, a little bit of a catch. It's going to take, you know, a huge amount of work. The book launches in 3 months and you're also probably going to have to fly over to the States for a portion of it. And I said, look, you know, opportunity of a lifetime. And that was the first thing that I realized. Oftentimes opportunities come past business owners quite frequently, but they can't take advantage of them because they're so caught up in the business.
Yeah.
But I literally dropped everything. It was the chance for me to hand the reins over to Melissa, my CEO, and then I went and followed this dream project. Cut a long story short, I've never seen people fall over themselves quick enough to try and work with Michael. You know, I was lining up podcasts and everybody wanted him on the podcasts and media wanted to chat with him about it. And the book was a tremendous success. It was his first book that ever became an Amazon bestseller within 24 hours.
Wow.
We kind of stacked the deck for him.
Yep.
And then just for the launch week, I flew over to the US and we rented out this Mac Daddy house hanging off the side of some rocks overlooking the ocean in La Jolla as we attended his week-long dreaming room. And I flew over some friends that had helped me with the launch as well. So I was kind of like leading it, but I had a couple of people. Mike Rhodes actually was one of them.
Oh, wow.
I know, Jesse, you know Mike.
Yep, good
dude. And another friend, Nick, and another friend, Troy, and we stayed in this house. And at the end of the program, the dreaming room, he had a 3-day mastermind.
Yep.
He got together the who's who to come and think about the future legacy of his work. And he wanted to get Tony Robbins to facilitate the group, but at the 11th hour, they found out they didn't have a facilitator. So I stuck my hand up and I said, I'll facilitate the room. And I ended up leading that facilitation where we talked about the future and what we were going to do with his work. And I remember there was a moment standing in front of that room, because it was like the who's who in sort of marketing and business in that room. And I thought to myself, how the heck did I get here? Like 3 or 4 months earlier, I hadn't even spoken to Michael Gerber. I wasn't a blip on his radar. Here I am launching his book, standing in this room in front of this group. And then it just made me realize, again, that it all happened because I'd systemized the business to the point where I could take advantage of opportunities. That's really what systems is about. Opportunities will come past the business owner quite frequently. Sometimes you won't even notice them because you're so head down and focused in the business and the day-to-day that you miss them. Other times you will see them and you're just, well, I can't step away from my business, or I can't follow this opportunity because I'm too caught up and, you know, there's no way I could step away from the business. But I found myself in that fortunate situation, right time, right place, everything just clicked in and I was able to follow that, and it's opened tremendous doors for me, and I've continued to work with Michael on different projects. I've just recently written my book, which we'll talk about, called Systemology. Michael wrote the foreword, he called the book extraordinary, and he's just opened a tremendous amount of doors for me. And I think for a lot of business owners, you don't even know the opportunities that you are missing by not having a systemized business.
Mate, that is absolute gold. And firstly, you know, what a wonderful experience, what a wonderful story. And again, as you say, which I think is a really key point, is you just never know those opportunities. You've got to be able to be Johnny on the spot and take advantage of those. I'm curious to ask you, just to go back in time, when Melissa, the CEO that you brought into the agency, when you and she sat down with the project of reversing you out of the business, because I know that there's a lot of dentists listening to this podcast going, hey, reverse me out of my business. And yep. I think a lot of them want to be reversed out to some extent. Some want to be reversed out totally. Some enjoy the clinical work. Some don't enjoy the clinical work. Some just want to have the right blend of things. So what I'd really like to touch on for a moment is those initial conversations you had with Melissa. What were those? We'll obviously dig into the process of systemizing the business in a moment. But what was that initial consultation or conversation like with her around that?
We both agreed, because I'd been stuck in the agency for over 10 years and I was working in the operations, and we both agreed that that's the piece that needed to change. I mean, that was the big reason for getting her. Then we started to think about, well, where am I involved? And I started giving pieces to her, whether it was the sales process, onboarding of clients, integrating with the back end of the team, starting for the team to get comfortable with her work and feel confident. And there were a lot of challenges. Like, I remember one time, so she brought in a lot of the operational stuff. And a great book to read is Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman. And he talks about the two types of personalities. You've got the visionary and then you've got the integrator. The visionary is the big picture person thinker, and then the integrator is the detail-orientated manager who follows things through to completion. And, I mean, Michael Gerber talks about it as well. He talks about it in the leader versus the manager. Now, I was the leader, and I wasn't necessarily the great with follow-through, and I can be, even though I'm, you know, big picture thinking, I have an appreciation of systems, I'm not a lover of systems. Like, I don't like writing out detailed process. I love the output and the benefit that comes from having a systemized business. So when I recognized that, and we realized that I could still own a systemized business and not be a systems person who creates the systems, that for me was a huge light bulb. And then I started to put Melissa in charge, and there were situations where for a little while there as the business owner, I started feeling like I could throw my weight around. And as the business owner, I would go to a team member and I'd say, oh, I've got this presentation I'm giving on Friday. I've got to get this slide deck done. I'd go to the graphics person and I'd say, I need you to escalate this and put it at the top of the list. And that would throw out their workload. They'd miss due dates for clients. Melissa would get really frustrated. And then she came back to me two or three times and kept on nudging me back and said, we can't do this. We have a way of doing things in the way that we allocate work to manage workloads and make sure we hit our deadlines. And then it got to a point where I did it one too many times, and then I'd built up such a relationship with her that she went to Asana, which is our project management platform, wrote a memo for the entire team and tagged the entire team in it, and basically said, next time Dave comes to you with an urgent task that must be done and it hasn't gone through the appropriate process, I want you to ignore his message. Now, that was like incredibly gutsy from a manager to tell the business owner that is unacceptable and we have a way of doing things. And once she did that, things just started to click. I kind of let go of the ego and then realized, if I wanted to step out, I needed someone to step in to take over that piece. And if I kept on undermining that, I would forever be pulled back into that moment. So it was a matter of building her up and then going, great, okay, well, you're running this now and I'll take a back seat. And we got to the point where the agency was running so smoothly that I'd check in with her as a business owner about once a quarter. We'd look at all of the financials. We'd have a full day and we'd dig into everything, and we'd readjust our 90-day rocks and think about the targets and review the dashboards. And then I would take my profit distribution as an owner every quarter. And actually, I had no plans to ever sell that business. It got to the point where I was just like, yeah, look, this is a fantastic little side business. It gave me enough freedom to start up the next side hustle and all those sorts of things. And then the big change happened. She had to fly back to the States for some family reasons. Like, she was based in Australia but had family in the US. And when she came back, she resigned. Oh, wow. And she'd been in the CEO position for 3 months. And I just remember at the time, my gut just dropped. I was like, oh, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to find her replacement. And I had started up the side hustle and my passion for that business had died. And, you know, because I'm focusing on the system side of things. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll sell it. And then I had the next moment when I realized the value of the systems. I built a business that someone actually wanted to buy. I got the news late in the year. Like, it was in, I think it was early November, either that or October. And I'd found a buyer before the end of the year. Wow. And we did handover and they did basically a few times earnings. And when I discussed with him why he purchased it, he said two reasons: financial performance and the systems.
Yeah.
The business has been running without you for 3 years and I know it's now not built on you. And again, it was another big sort of aha, wow, you, unless you have that in place, you don't really have a business of value. And if I didn't have systems and Melissa had left, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, the business would have probably closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've had a few things there. You have to find the right person. It's finding the yin to your yang, and it's a challenge. I know that's a tough role to recruit for, but building up that confidence and letting them run it is critical.
So, mate, there's a ton of stuff in there I'd like to unpick for a moment, because obviously, yeah, finding Melissa was key pivotal moment in your business journey to be able to do that. And who knows, as you say, if you'd not found her or if you'd kept the business, you know, longer after she'd left and so on and so forth. But it's really interesting that you talk about the value in the business. And, you know, what I'm hearing you say is those systems effectively decreased the risk for the purchaser. By de-risking the purchase, you're able to get a better multiple. And therefore, you've got a business that is actually saleable. And it's really interesting. We talk about this in the work that we do as well. If you're going to, you know, value is earnings times a multiple, as you know, and that multiple really comes back to risk. And the biggest risk of all is key person dependency. And you've been able to mitigate that with your systems, which is fantastic. So, mate, there'll be lots of people on this podcast who, you know, understand the importance of systems. They get it, right? But invariably, they counter some roadblocks, some obstacles, and you've touched on a few already. You know, systems rob creativity. You know, I want to have people bring their hearts and minds, not just their arms and legs. Do I have to be the one that sits down and writes these things? Or I've got this beautiful manual up on the shelf that no one uses. You know, where else do people come unstuck traditionally when they try to systemize their business?
Another big one, I mean, the most common question that I get is, where do I get started?
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, anybody listening to this, and if you've been in business for long enough, we all agree that systems are important. Mm. The thing is, they're never actually urgent, so you never actually find time to do them and you never get around to it. That's the biggest challenge. And also, when people approach systems and you say, well, what does a systemized business look like? The first thing that people think of oftentimes is something like McDonald's or a franchise. Mm-hmm. And they think about these businesses that have, you know, huge manuals that are so detailed that they can take a 15-year-old off the street and then they can make a hamburger just by following the manual.
Yep.
What people think then is, they go, well, that's what a systemized business is. But what they're looking at is the result of McDonald's building a systems culture and developing their systems over 60 years. Mm. So they're looking not at, they think, I need to systemize like McDonald's is today, not I need to systemize like McDonald's did and how they got started 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So your homework for the listener is get The Founder, the movie, watch that and see in the early days when they're developing their systems, they're going, oh, does the thick shake machine need to be next to the fryer, or does it need to be near the checkout window?
Yeah.
And where are we going to put the register? Like, they haven't figured out the systems yet. And that's the real key. You think this is 80-20. Where do you get started? You have to figure out what the minimum number of systems that really drive the business. And how do we just capture what you're currently doing? Best practice. Don't try to make it perfect. Don't over document it. Don't go into super micro detail because things are still changing. Mm. And it's all about changing the culture as well. It's not enough to have the systems written and the right tools selected. You've got to get buy-in from the team. And there's definitely some challenges with that. All of the resistance happens up front as well with your existing team. Mm-hmm. It gets easier once you get going and new team members get on board. But yeah, they're definitely some of the challenges that people kind of need to navigate through. But the biggest one is where do you get started?
Yeah. I love the fact that you've spoken about the founder. And I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday about that exact movie. And do you remember the tennis court scene where they were
yes.
mapping it out on the tennis court? It was fantastic. Yep. I've often thought about that scene and in dentistry thought, I wonder what the replicable unit would look like around that. And of course, you know, the physical premises, but that movie is fantastic. And you're quite right. It's a really interesting point that you make is, we're often trying to compare ourselves to the McDonald's of today rather than McDonald's of 60 years ago. And I think that's a really important distinction that you've made. And, you know, we all understand that McDonald's has gotten there over that process. But again, it's that systems culture that you talk about. So I think I'd just like to explore that for a little minute. What does a systems culture look like? And then secondarily, you know, if you've got that resistance from the team, how do you work through that?
Yeah. So this is the missing piece. And if systems is one of the least well addressed parts of business, building the culture of the systems is the least addressed of the least addressed area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet it is, this is the bit that makes or breaks whether or not it's going to work for you. So a couple of things. One, when the business owner introduces a new idea, oftentimes they're the big picture visionary type person. Many times the team just kind of rolls their eyes and goes, great, here's another idea of how we're going to revolutionize things. So understanding that that's the case, and also that visionaries oftentimes have poor follow through.
Yeah.
You do need someone to lead the charge who's going to push through, because with systems, a few key characteristics to be mindful of. Firstly, you don't necessarily see the immediate return on the effort up front. Mm. The magic of systems is when you layer the cumulative benefit on top of each other of multiple systems working together.
Yep.
Installing one system on how you follow up your clients after they have had their teeth done and you need to reschedule them to come back for their checkup clean. If you get that one system in place, that on its own is not going to be the game changer. So you don't get that immediate feeling. It's not like AdWords where you turn the ads on and you immediately start getting leads coming through and it's that positive reinforcement loop. You don't get that with systems. Mm. So that's one thing. The other thing is all of the resistance to any form of change happens up front, and it happens with your existing team. So you're going to come forward and say, right, we're going to change this new way of doing things. They're going to go, oh, but I've been doing it this way for the last 5 years and it's working just fine. Why do I need to change? Mm. Now, the good news is in history, there has never been a better time to change the way that you're working, because the resistance to change is actually the lowest it's ever been. With the pandemic and everything that's going on, everybody is experiencing change in their world,
yes.
Whether it's the way that they work, whether it's at home, whether it's in their community, everything is changing. So if you now go, great, well, we're going to change the way that we're working at work, this new systemized approach, because we have to change, everything's changing around us. And unless we change, then we're going to get left behind or our business won't survive. So the resistance is low, which is good. And the other thing to think about as well, as you introduce it for the team, most business owners don't position it as a benefit to the individual team member.
Yep.
They position it as, well, the business owner wants to do this so he can have extended holidays. He can get paid a lot more. He doesn't have to be any here, and I'm working for him so he can lie on the beaches. And, you know, that also makes me maybe replaceable, because now we've documented my systems. He could offshore my work and, you know, get someone overseas to do it for a third of the cost. That's what they think in their head. So you need to position it. What is the benefit to the team member?
Yeah.
Which is, no one likes to go on holiday And when you come back from a holiday, there's 1,000 emails in your inbox, and it takes the next 3 months to catch up for the 1 week that you took off. Well, by systemizing, we can make sure that team members move your job forward. So when you come back, you can, you know, you can have a restful break when you're on holidays. And when you come back, you hit the ground running and everything's up to speed. Or, and it varies. You have to find all the reasons. Might be some team members, you say, oh, you want to move up the ranks in the business? Well, if you can systemize your role, delegate it to lower cost labor, I can give you higher value work that elevates you up in the business, which makes you more valuable, which means I can now promote you.
Yeah.
So for the right person, again, another reason, it's all about thinking about what is the benefit to the individual. That's one of the biggest ways to get better buy-in.
Yeah, I love the way you've been able to creatively solve some problems there as well, and to understand that. Really interesting, just on the topic of creativity, because some of those solutions you're coming up with there, Dave, are really creative. And I want to talk about systems and creativity because, again, you know, sometimes we feel that systems or some staff members feel that they're a straitjacket. And if, you know, you've come from a digital agency that has creative flair and design and all those other things. And so what's that intersection between creativity and systems like?
It's a funny thing because when you think about, again, all the misconceptions that come by looking to McDonald's as the poster child. They want to create a consistent burger with, you know, step one, let it burn on one side for 15 seconds, flip it over, let it burn on the other side for 15 seconds, squirt your, you know, whatever on, add the ketchup, add the pickle. And it's designed to get a very specific outcome.
Yep.
So how do you systemize something that's creative? Now, a couple of things. It is actually a little bit counterintuitive that systems remove creativity when the fact is, when done correctly, they increase creativity. Because there are certain functions in a dental practice that need to be done in a certain way and delivered to a certain standard. So when the client comes in and they're greeted and, you know, maybe they fill out the waiver form or whatever and they're sitting in the waiting room and then they walk in and then now when they get into work with the dentist, that might vary every different case and every scenario. Someone's going to need a crown. Someone's going to need their teeth cleaned. Someone's going to need some more, you know, some other dental work. I'm just showing my lack of knowledge there.
Actually, I thought you did pretty well with that, mate. Just saying.
That piece might be seen as the creative piece. And if you can systemize everything else around the creative piece, it then means the dentist can just focus on the creative piece without having to worry, oh, is the receptionist out the front going to make sure that they book them in and ask them when they need to come back to get the crown installed?
Yeah.
Because they can just then focus on making sure that they make a fantastic crown. So it's a little bit counterintuitive. And I learned this from, we had a sub business in the digital agency, which was Melbourne Video Production.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was, I didn't know how to, like, I'm not a camera person, so I don't shoot and I don't edit, which meant from day one I needed to build that business without me on the tools. But it's also an incredibly creative business. So I learned a huge amount of things around how do you increase the space for creativity. Certain things need to happen. Pre-production, we need to make sure that, you know, we book a call, there's some sort of discovery session, you know, before the shoot, we need to make sure everything's, all the equipment is in the box when you arrive, you've got to set it up in a certain way. But then in the middle of that, I create the space for the creative person to do their thing. And then when they get back to the office, they ingest all of the footage and they organize and set up the project. But then when it comes to now editing the creative bit, I don't go step one, now it's time to put your creative hat on and here are the 10 steps to creativity. I just give the barriers. It's almost like I define the edges of the field and I say, play within that field. Do whatever you want as long as it's within that field and it follows a few basic rules. So it's definitely the other thing as well. And the last point I'll make on this is I'm not a big fan of, like, I love A players and I don't recruit for the lowest common denominator coming off the street to do the thing. I don't want a 15-year-old who may have had no work experience. That might work for McDonald's in the way that they've built their business, but I want to have A players and good systems and let them excel. I don't want to have excellent systems and B or C players.
Got it.
So it's don't try and over-engineer this. Systems, when set up correctly and not over-optimized, that will end up getting you a much more, especially in something like dentistry, that will give you a much better outcome and result.
Yeah, I love that, mate. I really like the space around the creative piece. I think that's really good. You know, give them the boundaries to play within, and I think that's a really important thing. So, ladies and gents, if you're listening to this, I'd encourage you to go back, rewind, and listen to that a couple of times over, because there's some absolute magic in there. Now, Dave, you've got your book, Systemology, which outlines, you know, the seven-step process that you've got there around that. I'm just wondering if we could have a quick, you know, overview of those seven steps, because I know there'll be people who want to kind of read more about this. And so firstly, I should ask, the best place to get a copy of that book would be Amazon, presumably, or where else?
Yeah, depending on where you're at. If you go to systemology.com/book,
yep,
it'll link through to either the Amazon in your country, or if you want to get it from Audible or Booktopia or a bunch of different places, you can get it. Amazon's probably
easiest. Are you the narrator on the Audible book?
I am. It's also got a few little Easter eggs in there, because Michael Gerber wrote the foreword. He reads the foreword, and the story tells about his wife, and she does a bit as well. So I do the reading. It's a fun book if you like audio.
I do. So actually, I've got the hard copy, but I'm going to go and grab the audio now, because I like listening to the author. Anyway, so can you just give us a bit of a, you know, I'm familiar with it, but could you just, for the sake of the audience, give them a quick whip around that seven-step process? Because I know they'll want to read more about it in the book, but let's give them a bit of a taster.
So the idea of systemology being the seven steps to systemize a business, it is a very action-orientated step one, do this, step two, do that, all the way through to step number seven, which takes someone from, I don't really have any systems in place, or they're loosely organized and everywhere, to at least having a core operating system that works quite well. So the first step, step one, is define. Mm. That's just getting very clear on the handful of systems, the 80-20 of the systems that really drive your business. Step number two is assign. That's all about, how do we identify where the knowledge is within the team for those systems that we just identified in step number one, where we can, avoiding the business owner.
Mm.
So we just want to then identify the team members that we can help them extract that knowledge. Step number three is extract. And there's two secrets there. One secret is you need a system for creating systems, and I share mine in the book. The other is it's a two-person job. Mm. You have the person who has the knowledge, and you have a second person who is the documenter.
Mm.
And you record the knowledgeable person doing the thing, and then the documenter actually pulls out the bullet points and makes that easier. Step number four is organize, which is where are you then storing this information, and how do you create accountability and link it in with some sort of project management platform. Step number five is integrate, addresses a lot of what we talked about earlier around how do you then get the team to use this and overcome resistance and introduce it to the team and build a systems culture. Step number six is scale, which is then what are the systems outside of the critical systems that are required to grow and scale a business? Mm-hmm. So thinking your finance systems and, you know, your HR, how do you hire and onboard and manage staff, and some management systems. And then finally, the final stage, step number seven, is optimize. And by design, I leave that till the end, addressing that thing we were talking about earlier.
Mm.
We don't want to systemize like McDonald's. Let's get everything down first to a certain standard. Once you've got that and everybody's following that rule book, now let's think about optimizing and improving and looking where the best wins are going to happen. So that's the seven stages.
Mate, that's fantastic. And, you know, ladies and gents, yeah, the steps that David has just articulated there, I think make incredible sense. And, you know, one of my favorite people from Melbourne is Molly Meldrum. So as Molly Meldrum would say, do yourself a favor, grab a copy of the book and plow through it, because there's a lot of really good, you know, wisdom to be shared there. It's a wonderful read, and I commend it to you. I think it's a wonderful book. Dave, you've been incredibly generous with your time today, mate. And I feel like we could talk for hours, because I know this is a topic that you could speak for hours on, but there's plenty of stories I want to dive into with you, and perhaps we need another podcast. But I just have one last story I want to ask you about really quickly, because I know we're on a bit of a schedule here, but selling the MCG, mate, can you just really give us a quick, because you're a creative soul, and I love that. And I know this is a little bit out of topic, but it's just a really interesting story.
The good thing about all of my stories, I can always link them back to a system or a process.
Okay, so, here we go.
Even though it's left of field, it does relate to systems. So I read a book called The 1 Minute Millionaire, and it talked about a guy, Paul Hartunian, who sold the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes.
And what he did was, they were doing renovations on the bridge. He got his hands on a bunch of discarded wood. He chopped it up into pieces, wrote a press release, and then got mobbed by the media for the next 12 months, because the press release basically said, New Jersey man sells the Brooklyn Bridge for $19.95. And he was selling just little slivers of the wood stuck to certificate paper and would basically mail it out. So I just read that book. Drove past the MCG. They were doing renovations on the Ponsford stand. My fireworks just started going off in my brain. I went to the wrecker, got a bunch of discarded wood and the green wooden seating, which is very iconically the MCG. Now, for international listeners, the MCG, Melbourne Cricket Ground, it's a bit like a religious icon here in Australia. Like, we love our sport, and the MCG is the home of that. So it's the church of sport. And I got my hands on all of this green wooded seating, wrote a press release, Melbourne man sells the MCG for $24.95, chopped it up into little pieces, sent it out. The rest is history. But I got mobbed by radio, newspaper.
Excellent.
You know, it's, the idea, when I link it back to systems, most of the problems that you have in business have already been solved by someone else.
Yeah.
If you can model what someone else does and deploy that system in your business, you will shortcut your way to success. And all I did was I took Paul Hartunian's system and I came and deployed it when it came to selling the MCG, and I got tremendous success from it. And the listener listening to this can do the same with systems. I've shortcutted the process. That's what systemology is. So if you're looking to build a systemized business, that's my system for systemizing business.
Yeah. Mate, that is absolute gold. I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. If you've got any spare bits of the MCG, I'll come and talk to you about that off air. But mate, once again, David, I really appreciate your time. Really appreciate your generosity. You're a good man. And ladies and gents, head across to systemology.com, grab a copy of the book. I really recommend it to you. It's a wonderful read, very thought-provoking, really insightful, and it's absolute gold. So again, David, thank you so much. You're an absolute gem, mate.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.